Going to call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting back in order. In all of our haste to move forward, I inadvertently skipped over item four, discussion possible action, the approval of the minutes for April the 1st, 2014. Does anybody have anything on that? Hearing none?
So moved to approve the minutes of April 1st.
I'll second.
All right, been moved to second for the approval of the minutes for April 1st, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Consent agenda. We now need to add the whole consent agenda minus that item that we're holding voted on. Consent agenda minus number 10.
Okay. At this point now, I need to go ahead and have a motion to approve the consent agenda for the exception of item 10.
So moved.
So seconded.
Moved to second to approve consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item 23.
All right, we've been asked to move item 23 up. We'll do that right now. This is discussion of possible action of the height variance for 5 feet in addition to the 35-feet height of building and structures for E1, Virginia City Highlands Zone property. Ms. Redmond.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the commission. This variance is for a property out in the Highlands. It's a 5-foot variance to the addition of the 35-feet height of buildings and structures. The applicant is here with us tonight. That's my short, brief introduction. I can definitely go into more detail, but would offer the applicant to approach to the podium.
Commissioners, have any questions on this?
I don't have any questions. I'm familiar with the house.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it also. I attended the planning commission meeting as they approved this. Also, I believe it'd be a recommendation for the motion to approve this variance on the condition that as the applicant returns to the architectural committee of the Highlands Homeowners Association for their final approval.
I attended the Homeowners Association meeting and saw your presentation there. Nice house. Fun. Looked like a good place to live.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
Yep.
Okay.
Very good.
Before you make the motion, or during when you make the motion, just let me read the findings of fact into the record.
Very good.
So, Mr. Bartholomew, you want to talk?
If you wish to. You don't need to if you don't want to.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
We like it.
The findings of fact. This variance complies with all federal, state, and county regulations. The variance will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area. The conditions of the variance adequately address potential fire hazards and require compliance with the applicable fire codes, including setbacks and fire protection ratings. The conditions under this variance do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the Story County Code, Chapter 17.40, Estate Zone, and Chapter 17.03.140 variances, or any federal, state, or county regulations, including building and fire codes. And finally, this variance addresses goals specified and referenced in the staff report and Chapter 5 of the master plan.
Very good. Okay, at this time, we'll go ahead and ask for a motion to approve the variance as presented for the findings.
So moved.
So seconded.
Moved to second to approve the variance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Welcome to Story County.
Happy health building.
Thank you.
Now 12.
Okay, now we're going to backtrack a little bit to item 12. Just going to go ahead and be committing staff reports. There we go. We'll start with Mr. Gallagher today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are at the third quarter mark of our budgeted year, as we did in our second quarter, December. I have submitted to the commission those items which, by reference to line item budgeting, are either over expenditures or under expenditures by a significant percentage. We have our department heads here to discuss those that have been circled on their particular budget reports. I will start with this off with the general fund and its revenue. As you may notice on your sheets, our ad valorem, which is our secured revenue, is sitting at 96%. Some of this is due to the fact that a lot of people pay early, or they pay annually. We do not expect at this time a significant amount of revenue to come in. However, we do think that we'll make up the $150,000 balance, which I think was pretty good budgeting on our part for the year. The one significant factor is ad valorem from the assessor. This is personal property. That is 54%. I have just received a document from Janice Eden that between now and June 30th, there are going to be bills sent out in excess of $2.8 million. Whether that's collected or not remains to be seen. However, that does go into the default area. So we will be almost doubled, certainly probably quadrupled where we are sitting now, which I think is excellent. The reason that they're at 54% is, again, they had a staff shortage, a long-term staff shortage, of which there was only three people in there. And as you know, we also have Department of Motor Vehicle things that we have to do as far as not the licensing, but as far as permits, tags and such. The person who was the head of that and doing all of that work was on an extended period of time. So consequently, instead of going out and assessing certain things on a daily basis, they had to do all of that interim work for Department of Motor Vehicles. This is why in their budget for next year, we're allowing for a part-time or less than part-time person to come in and assist for those areas in which, you know, there is a shortage of such. But they are bringing this back into fold. It's a very good grouping, which means that, you know, 2.8 million is a pretty good test, which, you know, overall will put us about double where we budgeted. So I think that's good news. Merchandise licensing is up about 120% or 18,000. That's due to Mr. Haymore and hopefully what we consider hopefully the bottom is done from our drop from 2007 and 2008. We are very optimistic about that, as whereas building permits were up 219,000. That's again attributed to the great work of Dean Haymore, all the things he does, and all of the business primarily out in the industrial park. Real property transfer taxes are up a little bit. It's just, you know, that's an unknown figure to us for the most part. But then we go to miscellaneous other. Most of that is a refund from our petroleum gas and diesel distributor flyers. Through the efforts of the building department's gal, Susan, she was able to find out that they were billing us at the wrong price. This was a refund based upon that audit that she did.
And Public Works.
Then it goes to Public Works, yeah. So it came from Public Works. And so that was a good job for her. And business license penalties, we hate to see that, but that's up about $4,900. That's just people not providing their payments in the proper manner on the proper day. So, overall, the revenue for the general is at 76%. It's tracking pretty much right on the dime. So with that, I will turn this over now to County Manager Witten for the commissioners.
Okay. I have two accounts that our comptroller has stated the on an individual line item basis should be discussed. In the commissioner's account, overall, we are tracking to 74% year-to-date, so we are right on track. We are over in three areas. Travel, we've spent $16,600 on a current budget of $9,000. And I'm going to go ahead and I'll go through these individually. Our travel is up, and we under-budgeted in the last year, so we're trying to make up for it in other categories. We've had two unanticipated trips to Washington, D.C., portions of which are reflected here, and portions down in economic development. And again, as I have stated before, I am thrilled to have three commissioners that seem to want to be not only all over this county, but all over this region, all over this state. Mr. Chauvin, I believe, has been to Winnemucca and probably Ely Elko on various items, down to Tonopah to look at a big solar array. So our travel's up. It's going to stay up, obviously, at that rate, and we will continue to try to compensate or work with the comptroller on potential small budget augmentations as we close out the year. Gas and diesel, the very same story, quite honestly. Again, a lot of this travel is not to D.C., but a lot of this travel within our state is accomplished by use of county vehicles, and that's reflected. We had budgeted $2,000. We've spent $2,400 to date. And economic development is one that we only budgeted $7,500. We have spent $15,000 so far, so we're running 205%. And again, we're going to continue to do that. We have a major announcement that will be done at EDON sometime within the next week or two on one of our major companies. It's actually not top secret, but I'd prefer them to steal that thunder. And believe me, there'll be a nice plaque, and there'll be five or six of us in attendance like we always are there. So this is where funding for those efforts generally come from. So that's the commissioner's budget. The other budget is the administrative budget. That is kind of the kitchen catch-all, if you will, for what I refer to as the global expenses, the county's insurance policies, our memberships oftentimes in professional organizations such as NACO. We carry a good, solid general services budget as well. I only have one line item here that is in excess. We budgeted $3,000 for legal printing in the current year, and we've expended $8,672, taking me at $289. I explained this the last time. Blame Austin for this. Austin came up with how many pages of code for Title 17? A few. The good news is we're up to date on code as much as Bob Morris and Bill Maddox say we are. The bad news is after it's approved by the Planning Commission, recommended to you, you guys approve it, and it's passed and enacted, then we have to go through all the codification processes. So this is the devil's in the paperwork in these. We had to print. Oftentimes we tried to save as much money as we could in the printing. Trust me, with Austin doing the master plan now, we will be applying for a budget adjustment for the next coming fiscal year as well. And administrative is sitting at 55% to date, which is an excellent number, quite frankly, because there are sometimes a number of one-time payments that are made early in the process. Mm-hmm. So those are my line items to explain. Now, I think we're going to change this format a bit. We're going to take advantage of the individual staff people out there not only giving you their explanations, but then also providing you their staff report, so they're free to go. I only have two items of note here real quickly. We have some logistical and legal concerns with our functional use of the Justice Court. So as you might recall, when we looked at the infrastructure, we stuck in a large sum of potential funding. Did you have a question?
I do.
Okay.
You finish your...
Okay. We stuck in a large sum of money
We are looking at a couple of options right now and working with the Justice of the Peace. So we'll keep you posted if something comes to light and come for you for proper approval and proper budgeting on the expenditures on that. And the only other thing is a quick update on the houses. The four houses next door have all been vacated and cleaned out. I want to publicly thank two people, Mike Nevin and his entire crew, for about 8 days over the past 2 weeks. They have bucked out. I couldn't tell you how many dump trucks full of junk and then how many more dump trucks full of dirt. We're back about as far as we go right now until Far West gives us some engineering on a retaining wall, and we're assessing our options there. We could generate anywhere from 30 to 50 parking spaces, or 30 to 75 parking spaces, excuse me. By virtue of your approval of the consent agenda, you authorize the district attorney and myself to dispose of those houses. At this stage of the game, the anticipated status would be the White House, the second house from us, would go to the Cemetery Foundation. They've expressed an interest in locating it out of the cemetery, and they're working with a local contractor on establishing a foundation and then a mover so that it can be moved, and they're working on the funding for that as well. It would be our anticipation, given your approval today, that in short order we go ahead and conduct an auction. I'm still finalizing with Mr. Maddox the disclosures and the processing we want to utilize as far as what we know and don't know about the conditions of the homes, the cost and the requirements there. But I would hope to tell you that that auction could be concluded either before the next meeting or shortly thereafter, maybe around the first part of May, probably on a weekend so we can attract as many locals as we can. Then comes the fun part. People will have to move them within 45 days. So we have had good expressions of local interest for some very good people. One house is in what I would term outstanding viewing condition. I'm not a structural guy. Another house is in pretty good shape. After the second gentleman, I want to thank Sheriff Antonoro and his generous use of the jail trustees program. He loaned us two trustees for 4 days, and we were able to get a coat of Kills primer paint on the two that were not left in very good condition. One of them now I think is acceptable. The other one has some major issues. I'll be surprised if it sells, but oh well. And then I might be surprised if it stays together when you go to move it. But those are the updates from my staff report.
Great. Mr. Gallagher, did you?
I think Bill had a question.
I want to make a comment on traveling PM with all of my chasing boards and committees and commissions and stuff around the state. I probably only report about 10%. The other 90% of my travels is easier to just go on my 1040, and it works out about the same for me.
And I can certainly attest to that to you, to Commissioner Gilman, and Commissioner McBride. I'm amazed at how much driving around I see you do in your own private vehicles when we can't.
Too much trouble for me to try to keep track of it in my own vehicle, what I did, where I went, and fill out all your forms or our forms. And so I just let the feds pay for it.
You're a bargain at half the price.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chair, next up is Vanessa Stevens.
Afternoon. I have two budgets as well. The first one is for the clerk treasurer. I have two items that Mr. Gallagher has pointed out. Both are related to the postage machine that I keep in my office and oversee for most of the departments. So it's the postage cost and the lease cost, and a GL is going to disperse that between the other departments. And then under district court, we have the pre-sentence investigation costs. And those are passed down from the state. They were higher than we thought they were going to be. They went over by $700 so far, so next year we'll adjust in the budget to be able to cover that. And the last one is the public defender. We use the state's public defender and pay them quarterly. The last quarter payment from the last fiscal year got charged to this year, so that's what the difference is. So that'll wash out at the end of the year. That's all I have.
That's good. Thank you, Vanessa.
Jen?
Good afternoon, Jen Chapman. Budget, I'm tracking about 68% of the elapsed time, 75% here. A couple of the things that are similar to the last presentation are the office supplies, which were over due to the expenditure for the security paper for the new process of certified marriages, and the travel expenses. They are probably exactly the same as last time. I had sent both of my staff to undertake some training in conservation. I took advantage of sending both 1 year as opposed to more over 2 years to kind of cut some expenses in the long run. And then the last one was also some dues and subscriptions. I am running about $129 over there. And again, that's having some dues, annual dues and things for my staff that I haven't currently had. I'm adding them into some of these other memberships to afford them other training opportunities.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the assessors didn't have any line items that were extremely over where they were. One of them, however, was overtime of $1,800, which we never budgeted for there. And that's pretty much due to the extended leave and of one of those people, and the fact that a couple of them, or one of the employees had to take work home, and we went ahead and paid for it because those billings had to get out. So that was what that was for. And they are tracking it about 66%. So I think it's a phenomenal job by Mrs. Seed. Next is Mike Nevin and the six funds he has.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. For the record, Mike Nevin. I guess we'll start first, buildings and grounds. We had one overage there in auto maintenance, and I think I had alluded to the fact that we needed to replace an engine in an existing vehicle used by the custodial staff, and that engine expense was $2,100, so that's why that's over. Hopefully we're done with the vehicle maintenance for the remainder of this fiscal year. We're still tracking pretty well, though, bottom line, 56% versus 75% through the budget year, so not too bad there. We'll move along into roads. Again, maintenance items related, heavy equipment maintenance, had a budget of $15,000. Right now we're sitting at $19,000. I mean, we never know when something's going to break. When that heavy equipment breaks down, it's expensive. We had a course of brine truck this winter. It needed almost $4,600 in repairs to the front end, so, you know, that's a big chunk of that. We had a transmission transfer case in our transport that went out, and that was another $2,500, so, you know, it doesn't take long. I mean, we've adjusted for that in this next fiscal year budget and increased the budget for expenditures and heavy equipment maintenance from $15,000 to $25,000, so hopefully, knock on wood, with aged equipment, that we make it through. The other thing that you had circled in roads, and I don't see on the sheet, Hugh, the 500 expenditures for TRI on the road maintenance, road improvements?
Right, it doesn't go by object code, not on this report.
So it will show up on this? So, oh, it will not? So, you know, I don't know, I mean, we did those culverts out there, that was, what did we spend, almost 50 grand there out of that. We haven't, and I mentioned this before, you know, the paving maintenance, we haven't done much because the plant was closed all of last year, and we're waiting to see how this report comes back on the tri-pavement analysis and what we need to do in maintenance out there. And so a portion of this amount, we had a budget allocation of $475,000 for all of the county roads. We'll probably focus on at least trying to get some of the seal work done out at the industrial park before the end of the fiscal year.
Is there only one asphalt plant in Mount House?
Yes. And we have, there's another one, Sparks, that we've used.
Are they going to reopen the one in Mount House, do we know?
We don't know yet. Yeah, they didn't.
Some good news is I'm working with one for Tri right now that maybe we're going to relocate out this way from the Midwest, so maybe we'll have our own in-house program.
Boy, that would be nice. That would cut expenses quite a bit.
It's kind of a long haul. It's kind of a long haul to get it from Sparks.
There is no hot plant date that I know of.
Yes, sir.
Where it comes up just from Mount House, it's, you know, steam and hot. That's what I like to work with.
Well, that'll be closer, but out at TRI, he's going to enjoy that for all the
work out there. Yeah, it's on site. That would be wonderful if we could get a facility out there. So that's all in roads. On water, and I made mention of this before, now with the capability of the operators having the iPads that were furnished to us via grant funds, we have some overage in the telephone expense because the monthly expense for those three iPads is about $40 a month. So we budgeted more in the next fiscal year to make up for that shortfall there. Travel is over. We had six people this year that attended CEU conferences, continuing education credit conference in Reno at the Grand Sierra, and then a portion of my expense to attend the pictometry training in San Antonio. It had to be allocated from water travel, so that's why that's over this year. Let's see, moving down into tires, and I mentioned this before, we had three vehicles that we had to put tires on this fiscal year, and so hopefully that one's done. That hasn't changed since my last report. Professional services, we're a little bit over. It was discovered that the comptroller needs to do an additional GL to transfer some expense from water and sewer back from the IT and planning budgets as a result of the Douglas County contract, so that'll happen. Sewer. Let's see who has circled on the revenue on the Gold Hill collections, and I'll have to look into that. We're lagging a little bit behind, about 11%. I'll have to check with Susan to make sure that the billing should be proper, but, you know, sometimes people don't pay, and so we're a little bit behind there. Although we're 79% of revenue versus 75% into the year. And then on equipment maintenance again, and I think I made mention of this, you know, we're dealing still with aged equipment down there, and it has to be fixed when it breaks. We just had recently had a blower go down that runs 24/7, and so that was replaced.
year.
And that was about a $1,000 expenditure that we didn't anticipate. Sometimes you can't anticipate that stuff happening, but until we get the new facility, you know, it is what it is. So, and we're still, let's see, in sewer, we're 75% into the year, and we're only at 47% on the expenditure. So we're tracking pretty good. And on water, let's see, we're 75% into the year versus 49% on the expenditure. So I think we're doing pretty well, even with a few little overages there. I think that's all that I had that Hugh provided to me. Just a couple other items of interest to the board as far as my staff report.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, Marshall and Lance are on the board.
I can hear you out of my right.
Okay, okay. I just want to make mention that the rest area at the north end of town will be open prior to the Grand Prix race weekend, the end of the month here. Pat made mention of what's going on to the south here. We're going to start hopefully soon with the repointing of the west wall behind us here, the rock wall and the brick. We have a little bit of money that was allocated for that project currently, so I've asked Dick Wellhouse to start on that as soon as he can. So if you see somebody back there doing the work, it'll be Dick and his crew. And we're progressing with the sidewalk, county sidewalk down there on C Street, across from the post office, with the installation. Well, we're removing the old asphalt today, and then that'll be replaced with pavers through there, from basically the bookstore up to where the walkway heads down to D Street.
When are you going to start the pavers?
Hopefully, maybe by the end of the month. We're putting in the base. We'll remove the asphalt, put in the new base, get that compacted, so we'll have at least a walkable surface for there, and then hopefully by the end of the month, I'm waiting for one more quote to come in on the install. So that was all I have for you.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
All right, a few things on here. I think most of them we touched on the last review. Overtime from the general. Had several folks out on extended absences that hopefully we're getting that wrapped up. But that was, I think, Mr. Gallagher commented last time, we just kind of swagged at that, hopefully to get a better tracking for future purposes. But that's why our overtime is running a bit high. That being said, though, it's still lower than our average of the last 3 years. So we're still tracking decently. It's just higher than the number that we plugged in. Coroner's office, I've talked about that. Just keeps happening. People keep dying under bizarre circumstances. I talked to the chief medical examiner's office end of last week, and she's contemplating writing a study or a book on some of the interesting cases we've had this past year. So not only are our numbers up, it's an interesting set of circumstances, which is why the coroner's budget is so high. Miscellaneous, I believe that's the same as what it was last go-round, just a couple of unexpected expenses that were pretty small. I think it's $300 is what we went over on that. Don't anticipate any other expenditures out of that between now and the end of the year. On the jail side of things, same thing with the overtime. When we put together the budget, it was set for the correctional officers, and of course that's on the premise that those people are instantly available come July 1st. Of course, they're not. We just actually got our last one hired not too long ago. He's in the academy right now. Once he is finished, then we should be back into better position on the overtime for the jail. But, and we're, overall, we're budget-wise, I think we're doing pretty good. Same thing with the uniforms as last time, a little bit over on our costs when we projected them out last budget cycle. I mean, that, you know, we try to account for inflations and whatnot, but it's our best guess, not too terribly over on that, and we shouldn't be having to buy any more uniforms in the jail between now and the end of the year. So overall, both general and the jail fund are tracking about where they should be. A couple of line items that have gone a little bit high, but like I say, overall, we're not too bad. Hugh, did you want to say anything specific about the revenue side of that? Or?
Yeah, the revenue side is basically he's going to get – the jail fund is going to get a lot more healthy with the additional billing of personal property tax billings from the county assessor. Also, centrally assessed, we've got budgeted for $74,000. He's only got $5,000 in there now. That's an item that comes from the state. We have no idea. It's usually going to be late this month or early next month. That's traditionally when centrally assessed is distributed. And the sheriff fees have gone up with for whatever the fees are there, which includes probably a little more business with garnishments and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's actually there hasn't been a change in the fee structure. It's just a change in the volume, which also reflects on the expenditure side of things with our increase or our overage on postage that was discussed at the last review. It's just an increase in civil process.
I do want to touch on something that Sheriff had mentioned, and that's the fact that during this current budget, when we were doing this, we had it's an absolutely great idea to replace patrol staff, which was currently staffing the jail, with correction officers. It was a distinct savings for Story County, and it would put those officers who were there back on the patrol where we thought they belonged. What happened was that we were expecting those people to be available and for duty on July 1st. And this is something we all of us department heads, and whoever has any funding, when we're looking at going down the road for getting additional full-time equivalents, we got to make sure that, you know, if it's not going to happen on July 1st, then we got to make sure that we come to an understanding of when it's going to happen. This has taken quite a long time for the sheriff to get his staff to this point, and I'm not sure if he needs more now, but the process has to be better. We got to do a better job of putting those people in the right positions at the time that we need them. And so this is something that I just discovered with all of this stuff. It happens. It should happen. Shouldn't happen with any of us, but it has happened in this case. And for the most part, we need to fix it, because what happens was is that salary that belonged in the patrol was sitting in the jail, because those people were working in the jail until these people, until the correctional officers were hired, trained, and were ready for duty. So we just got to be a little more cognizant of that fact in the future and make sure that if it's going to happen, if there is, you know, if there is a hiring and then there's a training period, that we have to understand that, and if there was a replacement from that staff that goes in the sheriff's case that goes from the correctional facility to patrol, we got to make those adjustments.
Just to touch on what Hugh just said, Dane, what our staffing as it stands right now is minimal staffing. So if somebody calls off sick, if somebody is on annual leave, it's generating a certain amount of overtime to still cover those shifts, but that's an issue that we'll be addressing in the budget hearings for the upcoming budget. Any questions regarding the budget?
Nope.
I have one other thing to share then, and not to go back to what we've already addressed, but it's a tie-in. I was asked when we took the last break why I didn't get to say anything regarding the Jeep posse, as was attested to during the conversation that took place, as probably both Pat and Hugh can attest to. Not my fight. I had an issue with them functionality-wise. As far as the monies, that's an issue between them and you gentlemen. Now, the tie-in to that is, because there was some comments made, is there is no absence of services. Following our parting of company, we created a community response team, which there are about 50 members right now, both North and South County. They're almost evenly split on the two sides. Some of the members of the community response team are here in the room. The North team has been out on 3 searches already, and they've done a spectacular job. They've been helping with some community functions. Last night they were out. They helped with a hike of the school kids down there. They helped with observation of the blood moon. So we do have something in place when it comes to search and rescue. They're also training and excited to participate in the upcoming evacuation drill of the Highlands in May. Joe Curtis did some training with the South group a week ago, and tomorrow evening we'll be down there training with the North group, who will be up to help with that. So we do have search and rescue functionality. We've got a great group of people, and we're also working that into community patrols to help with some of the issues with the deputies not being able to be everywhere at once because of staffing shortages. We had our maiden voyage yesterday of two of the community response team actually going out. They spent about 4 hours driving around out in the Highlands at Mark Twain. Feedback I got from several folks in the Highlands yesterday evening was they loved seeing it. So these be extra eyes and ears for us out there. They'll help with property checks if somebody's out on vacation or if, you know, gone for any period of time. They'll stop in and check on folks that may be at risk or at need. They'll be helping with the bus routes, making sure that we have somebody following the bus. It's a great group of folks that are willing to give just about anything that they can. So, any questions?
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Dean.
You already used up 6 minutes the last time you talked.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioners. Dean Haymore, Story County Community Development Director. My overall budget is at 72%. I have 4 items that are over 75%. We talked about that once before. Overtime is at 87%, and it still will be overtime, and it will be over the budget, and we'll have to augment that because of my short staff. This week, Stacy is out on spring break, so it's Shannon and I. We're covering the office. You're going to see Shannon come in for a later item. I'm going to excuse myself right after this and head back down to the industrial park, pretty much where I live right now, in the industrial park. We're blessed, as Hugh said, to bring in 200 and something thousand extra in revenue, 118,000, and that is because of Team Story. Every department works together, and we're bringing in new companies, and we're building new buildings. And we have new buildings coming and new projects, so I'm very thankful for that. Next one is utilities at 126%. 126% typically during the winter months, our propane runs for our gas and everything else. We're trying to keep the ghosts from turning it on at night. Stacy says we have a few ghosts in my building, and they like to warm up, but we've had set the heater down and keep setting it down, and we have it adjusted and changed. Auto maintenance is up at 118%. that again, my car, and we have a team rat down in Tri that has ate two of my pickups down there. I don't know how much damage for the fire department, but we're trying to catch that rat. And he definitely likes spark plugs, wires, and engines. He has actually caused over $2,000 worth of damage to my car trucks down there.
They like my stuff.
They must like. And I share a vehicle with Mike. Mike being prudent as him, we wanted to drive that anymore. It needed ball joints, and so I wasn't going to put any of my staff in jeopardy. So I put some more money in the Caprice that Mike lends us and put ball joints in there. Computer equipment is over at 159%. I came and asked for, we did not budget for that. My computer down at Tri crashed and could not stay up with the demand of the plans and everything. And James Dean recommended that it was just time to get rid of that and update it. So that's the budget overtures that I have. Not too bad. On staff report, I want to make a couple of comments. One comment is Speaker Joe Deeney. A lot of you probably don't know this, but many years ago when we came up with the industrial park, the county commissioner said, okay, put a planning commission together, put a master plan together, don't ask for any money. So I went to Joe Deeney, 8 o'clock one morning, and he says, put a plan together. And he had Mr. Tom Stevens, director there, and he said, tell us what you need, Dean. And I said, I need $2.5 million. And he said, Dean, I'll get you $1.5 million today. Mr. Stevens, I want $1 million out of your budget. Mr. Stevens said, I'm not giving Story County one penny. We talked again for another 30 minutes. Mr. Joe Deeney said, Dean, I will send every legislator, every senator through my office for the next, for this day, and you sell them on this project. And Mr. Stevens, I want $1 million out of your budget, and I don't want to hear no. Mr. Stevens stomped out of that room. That day, I spent all day with every senator and legislator, came in through Mr. Joe Deeney's office, and I showed them the proposal of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Park that it is now. At 2 a.m. that morning, I walked out with $2.5 million. 90 days later, we put in the Patrick Bridge and Overpass. And if it wasn't for Mr. Joe Deeney standing behind us and working with us, that was the start of that industrial park, so we got across. So I am in great debt to Mr. Deeney. Every time I saw him, he asked how things were going. I thanked him, and I appreciate him, and he is a real Nevada. The other thing is I have been gone. I apologize. I had rotator cuff, socket surgery, and carpal tunnel. 10 days later, I went to Washington, D.C. For representing 9 counties for the Western Nevada Development District. I guess I'm getting like a lot of the public out here. I'm tired of hearing crap and no. I stood up in front of 750 people and took on the Deputy Director of Federal Highway Administration and said, we have the opportunity to create thousands of jobs, and your department will not certify or rectify or renew our environmental plan that is already completed for USA Parkway. 2 days later, after being on Capitol Hill 2 days, they promised to meet with me. They did not meet with me. I had a conference call. And I got an approval that we will, that they will approve our FONSI and our assessment. And we have a meeting this week or next week with NDOT to finalize that up. So I think that was very well worth that we had that log jam that we've been trying to for I don't know how many years to get past that catch 22 so we can go forward on USA Parkway. So I think that was a very well expenditure. It did not cost the county one penny. Western Nevada Development District pays my way for that, and I do represent all 9 counties as a president of that. I've been president of 7 years, and they just asked me if I would be the president of that for another year. Any questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Great work.
Judge Harrington?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm here to address an item that was circled on the report, specifically record management. And I wanted to explain that that falls under a much bigger endeavor that I have been trying to tackle for the last year, my first year in court, and that was bringing my office into compliance with the Nevada Court's minimum accounting standards. When I came into office, I started taking a very careful look at that and discovered that there were many, many areas that we were not in compliance with. And the record management portion of it is bringing the office into compliance with the Nevada Records Retention Schedule, which is set forth by the Nevada Administrative Code. And basically what I did was we went through all the records that were in off-site storage, and I was able to reduce that amount by over 65% by implementing proper procedures that are required by the minimum accounting standards. So although it was a lot of money in the first year, I had to do that. I don't know if any of you came into my office, that little tiny closet, but we had at one time about 50 boxes that we were getting from off-site and going through them and, you know, looking at the proper guidelines per NRS and the Nevada Administrative Code, being able to purge the ones that we should not have had any longer. And as I said, that was part of an overall endeavor to bring our office into compliance with the minimum accounting standards. I have since submitted a request to Nevada courts to, it's called a material modification request, and where they will formally invalidate the last minimum accounting standards manual that was prepared and replace it with one that's proper and accurate. The other thing that I wanted to address, so did you have any questions about that? Okay. The other thing that I, it's not circled, but Mr. Gallagher and I had a discussion about the Public Defender Fund, and I talked to Vanessa about it. The Public Defender Fund, the way it looks on this list, it's actually money that I'm collecting to be, it's actually a revenue fund. In 2012, the audited numbers, the total was $18 that was collected by defendants to go towards the Public Defender Fund. In the last year since I've been in, I've collected close to $2,000 in public defender funds. And again, that's asking defendants to that have been appointed a public defender to help, the ones that can help, to help pay, to help give back and pay for the public defender. So actually that should be a revenue account, and it should be expensed into the district court fund, because the district court for our jurisdiction, they have to pay the public defender's office so much. So that's just a little change that we have to do on the accounting. But actually I brought in close to $2,000 this year. And I hate to say brought in. I had defendants pay for what they could for public defenders. So are there any other questions that you had? No questions?
We're looking for a new home for you.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. It does present a lot of logistical hurdles for my office. And we appreciate the commissioners helping us, and we look forward to a new home.
Got three nice houses down the street.
Thank you. I've already heard that from everybody. You've had your turn telling me that. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Dave Ballard?
Good afternoon. Dave Ballard for the record. Looking at my report here, I actually printed it out this morning because I lost the one that Hugh gave me last week. shows we're at 83%, and my current budget sits at about 64%. A couple things that Hughes circled, and I found a couple others that I'll probably just throw myself under the bus on that are pretty close. One of them right now is the telephone. That shows it's at 117%. And I explained last time that was due to a circuit that I had to pay for the state of Nevada. They charged us, I think it was an extra $300 or $400 a month for a 56K frame relay. And we just recently found that and got it removed. So next budget, we budget a little bit more money, and that should be fixed there. The other one I have is an operating supplies, which is about item, I think, number 14 for you. And that shows I'm at 131%. I looked at that yesterday, and I found a purchase that I did of $397 that was supposed to go into my computer equipment. So that'll come out of there and fix that. Put me probably right about 95%, 96% on my computer equipment. I don't anticipate buying any more for the rest of the year. And it'll also fix the operating. A couple other things to look at, the equipment maintenance. I'm showing I'm at 96% right now, and I can't get that one under control. It seems like every time I get something fixed, something else will break. And this Sierra Electronics isn't real cheap when it comes to fixing these types of things. I just had them up again last week working on some things, and it's typical, it won't work at the time until I get them up here on a Sunday morning, and then it'll start working again. So it's been a battle with it. That's really about all I have on the budget things that are of any concern. Does anyone have any questions on that?
No.
Okay, and then for the staff, I just wanted to let everybody be aware. I've been working with Sherry and Joe, Sherry and Evan and Joe Curtis, and we obtained a grant to help towards upgrading the 911 system. We were awarded $30,000 last week to go towards that system. Another thing, too, at the same time, I kind of talked to Marshall McBride about this a couple weeks ago. I mentioned it to him. The radio system that I have now, go to find out that as of next year, Motorola will no longer support. So we got about 2 years of lifetime left on that. I'm looking right now, talking with Sherry. We're trying to obtain some funding for that right now. Just talked to Carson City on theirs. They had put in a request, I guess a proposal, to Sierra Electronics to get a quote to find out how much new radios they're using. And they're looking at about, for six positions, they're looking at almost $700,000. So they're not cheap. I'm looking at two positions, and I got a couple of years to try to secure some funding on it. So I just wanted to bring that up right now because that's probably going to surface here later. And that's all I have.
Yeah. Thanks, David. Yeah, that's something we're going to have to look at seriously.
So. Yeah, it's coming around.
It's coming down the pike, yeah.
It's the same with the XP stuff. It's the same thing.
Thanks, Dave. We do want to mention that Dave has done from last year to this year a tremendous job in controlling his overtime. I mean, this should be an example for all. He has a 24/7 operation. He has taken care of that through his scheduling, and at times when scheduling doesn't provide an avenue, he does it himself. I think you should be commended on that, Dave. Thank you very much for that. IT service, the only thing that they have is a telephone, and I'm pretty sure that's from assuming the training building next to the courthouse. They're assuming all of those expenses, so that will go up, and their budget for this year will reflect the total of the utilities for that particular place. My budget...
wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Let me jump in on IT.
You want to come on up? Do you have a staff report?
Oh, there's James. My goodness.
And I want to point out... I want to point out that James takes this process so seriously that he was down in Southern California with a very ill member of his family over the weekend and came back to make sure he'd be here today to discuss this with you.
James Dean, Story County IT Department. I don't have anything under staff reports, but as Hugh alluded, we're over on telephone. It's a new expense. I'm absorbing the McCarran Government Center just to keep the pilot light on. So we've made adjustments for next year, and I think we'll be fine. Are there any questions?
No, we're good. Thanks, James.
Comptroller budget has a couple of line items, mostly to do with payroll. As you know, we're a 26-year veteran employee of Story County. Geraldine Honey retired in November. We brought over Mike's gal, Jennifer McCain, over. There had to be some cross-training that had that, that was concerned with that. I didn't think that Geraldine was going to retire until June 30th. She pulled the trigger a little early on me. But on the other side is that there is not going to be any more longevity in that office. Geraldine was one of maybe two people left that have longevity as a Story County employee and not an elected official. Consequently, health insurance went up because Geraldine was is a single person and Jennifer McCain has a family. And then training. This was basically for Jennifer McCain. She is going to school to acquire her AA degree, which is a requirement for the job now, and will be receiving that. So that is for her, strictly for books and tuition. She does all the rest of her stuff at night or on the weekends. So that's where we are with the comptroller's budget. What else we got?
Gary.
Yeah, we got Gary. Want to come up, Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. The good news is this was the 6-month report. The better news is this is the 9-month report. So we're making headway on our budget issues. We had a few overages, and we'll continue to have a few overages until the general ledgers are probably corrected. We've been working with the comptroller's office to maintain that. Primarily, we have overages on travel. Our line item account number, our line item expense is $1,000. We've expended $2,880.36. Of that, we're pending reimbursement in the amount of $710.82 from the National Fire Academy for one of our battalion chiefs that traveled. It's a grant, but it takes forever to get reimbursed, and we're still pending that reimbursement. We also, and this is probably my error, and I'll work with the comptroller's office on this, but when I budgeted the fire district, a case in point popped up here is an EMS billing course. I put all those costs into training, not into travel. So that's $903.60 overages. Long story short with this particular line item is we're pending another reimbursement for state EMS grant for mandatory training we had to go to in Winnemucca. We'll have about a $261 positive balance by the end of this fiscal year. So that will work itself out into a positive balance. The next item is dues and subscriptions, and we are going to be over on that. There was just no way to forecast this. We try to ask them every year, primarily through the National Fire Protection Association is where our overages are. Our line item number is $1,800. We've expended $2,415 for about a $613 overage. We have to buy subscriptions every year in order to do code enforcement, plan reviews, all those types of things. They didn't tell us it would go up, even though we asked. It did go up, and that's that overage. There's a couple other small ones with the statewide fire inspectors categories, but they're pretty minimal, about $50. So that overage is in there. We'll accommodate that somewhere else in the budget. We're not going to be asking for transfers or anything. The next item is under communications. Our line item is $1,900. We've expended $2,128. We're over by $228. And that entire overage is due to the Highlands Fire Station internet connectivity. James left. I don't blame him. This is one of those that IT vouchers for us. He mistakenly and inadvertently vouchered that to 53028, which is communications. The revenue for that expense is actually contained under 53022 or 53012, which is phones. That's where that revenue lives. So that shows as an overage. There's plenty of revenue in that other line item under phones to cover that overage. Auto maintenance, I don't have an answer for you. I can tell you that our line item is $33,000. We've expended $36,895. We're over, as of the time of this printing of this report, by $3,895. I can tell you that at the six-month mark, we were over by $14,000. So hopefully we're out of the woods on breakdowns. Our ambulances so far have been staying on the road and haven't had big failures with turbos, with ERGs, with all those types of things. We're hoping that that will be accommodated somewhere else in another line item that we've been able to save revenue or expenses from. Moving along, the next item is professional services, and we're over on that line item. Our line item amount is $1,500. Our expenses are $3,573 for an overage of $2,073. $1,500 of that was for regional testing. Again, we've lost personnel this year. We had to go out and do a regional test. This particular time, it was very expensive because we had to revalidate our physical agility testing process. I can tell you this would have been much, much more expensive if we would have done it on our own. Our portion of it was five different districts, so our portion of that total cost was $1,500. I know it's hard to stand up here and tell you that I'm saving you money, but in reality, I did save money on that, even though we're over. And we'll accommodate that into another line item somewhere, somehow. The last one that we're definitely over on is physical examinations. Our line item is $14,000. Our expenses are roughly $22,000. We're over by about $8,000. This is directly attributed to the loss of personnel. Of course, we do our physicals before January 1st. That way it validates a bunch of EMS things that we have to have signatures for to reconstitute our ambulance attendant licenses and those types of things. So we have to have physicals. These folks had their physical exams, so we paid for existing personnel. They left. We paid them. Then we had to hire new personnel. Just to give you an example, when we hire a new person, new full-time firefighter, EMT, firefighter, paramedic, whatever the case may be, that physical alone costs us about $800. That includes full back x-rays. It's just a very expensive proposal, but when you're investing in a 30-year employee potentially, it's that jumbling act. You know, we do extensive physical examinations. The only thing I can tell you with that is we will accommodate that into probably the salaries where we're under, so we won't be asking for any transfers or any loans or anything this year. I think the positive thing at the end of this day is we're at 73% of our revenues, 72% of expenses. Considering we started with a negative fund balance, I think we're holding up pretty well. Hugh's probably going to hit on this, but I'll touch briefly on it. Under revenue sources, the report reflects that we're in a $93,000 negative cash or revenue to expenses. There's still two transfers that haven't occurred. One is a transfer from the 045 for fire billings, and that's $101,000. And the other one's going to be the second half of the year overtime transfer. That's $98,000. So that report's a little bit flawed. We'll have about a $100,000 positive balance from revenue to expenses, the way when everything's transferred and everything's said and done. But just that alone, it comes to ad valorem as well. We're only collecting, again, Mr. Gallagher mentioned this, at 54%. So we're significantly under that. Hopefully that'll come in soon. The other one that we're watching closely is the centrally assessed. Our line item revenue projection for this year is $434,000. We've only collected $30,090. So right now it appears that the budget will be doing extremely well by the end of the year. Any questions on that part?
Are you going to be able to pick up some of those 64 firefighters that were laid off down in Marshall County?
No.
Well, that might, in fact, take the pressure off of you losing staff.
Absolutely.
To these other departments. I mean, yeah. There's going to be a. I mean, if they go through with this, they lay these guys off and they brown out the three stations, like the city of Reno talks about.
Well, I think in the divorce, they offered to accommodate those personnel, and they chose to stay with the city, even though they knew it was going to be a grant-funded position. I'll just leave it at that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to make leave of absence.
Okay.
For a bit.
Yep. Sure. Go ahead.
So that was it on the budget. Can I just take one more quick moment? Under staff, we're moving forward with the fuel reduction projects. The Geiger grade project, everything on the north side is complete. They're starting the south side today. They'll be working from 8 to hopefully expanded hours now to 1:30 because of NDOT regulations. 6 Mile Canyon is underway. We've started the big bulky stuff out of there. We still have to do some mastication with some mechanical equipment down there. And the crew in Virginia City is into week 3 of a 5-week project. So those are all going well. There's probably other things. We did also receive our first refurbished water tender last night. With all the change orders, that came in at $58,771. You'll recall that this cabin chassis was a federal excess piece of equipment, so the cabin chassis cost us a whopping $25 and our time and fuel to go pick it up. Just a similar type water tender was just purchased down in Central Lyon County, and it was $220,000. So we took our old tank, our old plumbing, the skeleton of our old box, got that put onto a federal excess piece of equipment, and we're into it about $50,000 or $58,000. So it was a very positive project.
Talk slower and bring in a
question. And the fuel reduction is noticeable, you know, along the highway in town here. I haven't been down 6 miles to check that out yet, but it's looking good.
Thank you.
Doing a great job.
These guys are doing a great job.
Been a long time coming.
That latest tanker of excess property just looks gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, it came out very nice.
It does not look like it just came out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I think County Manager Whitten has a picture.
Saved $175,000.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Chairman, that concludes our third quarter review of the unaudited financial activity for Story County for the 3 months ended 3/31/2014. I just have three comments to make, and I'll get out of your hair. Thank you very much for giving us the ability to do this. It gives me a better view because we already know that I have to make 6 journal entries based on what the various department managers have found in their departments that were misclassified, and that's usually through the vouchering process when they put whatever the expense number is. There's always those things, you're off a number or off to, and this gives everybody a good review of their own department head, their own department budgets, so they can get back to me and say, you know, this should have been here, give me the documentation, and they make the journal entry. It also gives us more knowledge of what we can expect in the future as far as revenues and expenditures. So, you know, Dave said, you know, the cost is going to go up on whatever line item it is or whatever communication thing it is. It's going to go up. Now we know that. We've got the ability now to budget that for next year. So we're kind of looking at those oversights and seeing what they have. We're constantly looking at the full-time equivalents and salary schedules and things of this nature to make sure we do the best job we can to cover all aspects of the county with as good a professional force as we can and hopefully save some money in the future. And during the next few weeks, between now and the final budget, there will be another round of talks with each department. Now that we've got the third quarter expenditures and hopefully some additional revenue features from the Department of Taxation, we're going to meet with each and every department head and further review the tentative budget. Hopefully we'll not see too many adjustments, but if we do, we'll be quick at it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That's great. I think that all of the elected officials and department heads should be commended on this. This is great information, and when you hear them get up to the podium and speak about line items that are over budget by $50 and $100, these numbers are inconsequential. And when you look at the bottom line, where their revenues and their expenditures are tracking right in line for where we should be. So everybody's doing a great job. We're not far off base on very many areas at all. And so everyone should be commended for the hard work they do and keeping a balanced budget. So stewards of the taxpayer dollars. So let's continue on with staff. Sherry Nevin?
Good afternoon, Sherry Nevin for the record. I'll keep it brief here. Just a reminder that free dump days will be held here at the Virginia City Transfer Station May 2nd and 3rd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have 3 days left at the Lockwood Landfill. That is the 17th, 18th, and 19th. We installed new flooring at the Lockwood Senior / Community Center over the course of the last couple weekends. It turned out great. Thank you to Public Works staff, Senior Center staff, and folks from our Community Center Board for making that process so smooth. It worked out really well for everyone. On May 17th, in conjunction with the evacuation drill, we'll be offering pet microchipping, low-cost animal vaccines, and dog licensing. That'll be open to the general public starting at 12 p.m., and we'll have it open until 3 p.m. So if you have any animals that need to be microchipped, vaccinated, or licensed, please bring them to the middle school. We are in the process of working to plan another health fair, since it was so successful in Mark Twain, to bring it here to Virginia City. We have a tentative date of October 18th at Piper's Opera House. That was the only Saturday in October available. So we'll be meeting in the course of the next couple weeks to get that off the ground. As was mentioned, we opened the bids for the wastewater treatment plant. That has been keeping me very busy over the course of the last couple weeks, getting all the documents together, working with you to get all the documents to the bank and USDA to satisfy all of those requirements. To dovetail onto the free dump days, if you know of anyone in the community that needs assistance getting items from their house to the transfer station, please give me a call and let me know. We will be offering some assistance to folks, elderly or those disabled and not able to get items to the dump. We're also working with the Food Bank of Northern Nevada to try to offer some services to the Mark Twain Community Center. They're currently serviced by, I believe, the Mustang Cares Food Pantry. The need down there is increasing, so we're going to see if we can bring the food bank in maybe once or twice a month to assist with the needs in that community. Shannon Gardner and I continue to work on putting together a bid package for the repair of this courthouse roof that we've got some grant funds for. We're anticipating that those should be coming to us sometime in June. The sale of the bonds will close at the state next week, so they should be able to start making their grant awards shortly after that. That is all I have for today. If you have any questions for me, happy to answer those.
Did we talk about the garage sale?
Oh, no. On May 3rd, Community Chest will be sponsoring a community-wide rummage sale. They will have a location set up down on E Street. They will also be offering up to all residents a map. So if you pay them, I believe it's $5, very small fee. They'll put you on a map that will be distributed to folks coming into town. So they're accepting items. If you have any items that you want to donate to them, give them a call, Community Chest, and they'd be happy to take a look at those items and most likely take them for their sale. So that should be a great event. It ties into Free Dump Day and should work out for everyone.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. It's a long meeting. I'll be short. I just want to let you know that the Sunny Hills will be doing another presentation out in the Highlands. That'll be at 6 o'clock Wednesday, April 23rd. And then secondly, I want to give you an update on our health enrollment for our employees. Fortunately, we're going to see a dozen or more of our employees joining the health savings account plan as opposed to the PPO plan. What's really nice about this is it's a benefit for both the county budget-wise as well as the employees, I believe, are getting a better plan depending on what their needs are. We may have over a dozen employees joining that plan for the last, I don't know how many years, we've had one. And so this is a good start to getting in that direction. And the last thing I just wanted to mention is if anybody in the community wants to learn about a discount card you can get from the Nevada Association of Counties. In my office, I have very simple paper pamphlets, and they have a dotted line that you cut the little coupon out. You don't have to register. You don't have to be involved with. All you have to be is a Story County resident. And because Story County is a member of NACO, and because Nevada is 100% of the counties are in NACO, then we get to participate in the NACO discount card program, which Walgreens or CVS Pharmacy and its subsidiaries participate in. You can get a 25 to 75% discount on any medications for you, your horse, you, your kids, your dog, anything, as long as the dog or the horse is taking medication that is also taken for humans. So, again, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to register. You don't have to be in any system. You just show up, show your driver's license. You're a Story County resident. For residents in other counties, there's participatory things as well. And then they also have a dental program as well that when you pay a nominal fee of $6 or $8 a month, and it covers things like orthodontia and caps and crowns and things like that. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to help them out in my office. Thank you.
Great. And before Austin leaves and you call up the next one, I missed something in my staff report because Desi Redmond has been in and out. When I talked about the houses in the parking lot and the potential for up to 75 spaces, one of the things that great staff like Austin and Desi and their leadership also has suggested is let's just not make it a 75-space flat piece of asphalt. Let's give it some design. Probably not going to be the fanciest parking lot in the world. Because we need the spaces, so I put some restrictions on it. But Desi Redmond in Austin's work group, come to find out she has her master's degree in landscape architecture. So Desi's going to be doing some design renderings to present at a commission meeting in the near future over what she thinks we might be able to do. That saves us a ton of money and probably gets us a more suitable product rather than going to Far West and others and working out. We're still going to use Far West for engineering, retaining those types of services, but it's exciting when we make these new hires and they bring added skills. So thank her.
I certainly will and do all the time. She's been great and she has an amazing set of skills for things like this. So it's great to have her on her team.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Chief Counsel?
The next meeting will have the question, a resolution for the question out at Sunny Hills. And Vanessa will be setting up committees to craft pro and con, and she'll be developing some rules that she expects those committees to follow, but we're moving forward on that. It's my understanding, at least, that Larry Prater came in. There's a potential for a question to be on the ballot, an issue with referendum on going from three commissioners to five commissioners. So that might be another thing that ends up on the ballot that we have to deal with. But that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Deputy DA, special counsel to the county commissioners. Nothing, Mr. Morris. Thank you. Mr. Quam.
I'll make this real fast.
Thank you for being so patient.
Yeah.
Southwest Gas wants everybody queried, Silver City, Gold Hill, Virginia City, on whether they're on their likelihood of connecting with natural gas. Southwest Gas doesn't want to build a pipeline up here and then have people not connected. I've already queried the business people. I've queried some residential people. So the final query survey will be with people who have not responded to the query or residences who weren't given a questionnaire. That will happen at the end of this week or next week. They need an overwhelming response because there's a lot of money for them to put in this pipeline. And then after I get that done, then we're going to start looking at routes. And I, you know, that's the next thing. So the battle continues.
May I, Paul, one thing I failed to suggest to you the other day when we met is
yes, sir.
You might want to try to tie into the Silver City Town Council and see if you can make an appearance at one of their meetings. I think
good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah. because this is really a bi-county type effort. So, and the people, the mailing list I got from the water department, everybody that has a water meter, there's 500, looks like 537 will be going out. So everybody has a water meter in duplicate. People have multi-water meters are only going to get one. But and if somebody gets another questionnaire, please bear with me and send it back in or make a comment. Already send it back in. So, sometimes it was hard to relate, like on businesses on C Street, ones I've already received to, and then the names on the water meter sometimes is different. So anyway, the battle continues.
This is the survey that counts.
This is the survey that counts. They need overwhelming response. I mean, there's just so much money in this project involved in it. There's big bucks.
We can only applaud the effort you put into this, Paul, because we know it's enormous. It's an enormous amount of meetings and time on your own. And that, and I agree with you. This could be one of the most important things we do for our community in many, many years. And so we need to get all the information we can, and we can't go with a half-baked survey. And so I would suggest that going forward, the response isn't quite what it should be, that we come back to the staff, and we might even have to put people out on the street with clipboards and surveys,
yeah,
just like pollsters go around, to get the adequate information that we need, because the potential for the savings for our community are enormous.
It's all long term.
The county and
residents
alike, absolutely, because it's from that day forward.
It's going to pay for itself.
Everybody who has heating oil or propane knows exactly, you know, where they sit. So,
and should anybody question this, Paul is doing this 100% gratis as a volunteer. The only thing the county has been providing is materials that he's requested. And I don't even think I've seen a gas reimbursement come back, so you're an amazing asset.
No, I burn my own gas, and thank you for all the county staff that's been helping me. Some really great people, you know, work in these offices been helping me out.
Thank you. Thanks for your volunteer. It's wonderful. Last but not least on my list, John and Mary Lee Miller. Because we always want to save the best for last. Okay.
So the best really is.
It's a matter of opinion. My name is John Miller from the River District. I'd like to salute the commissioners and the county employees and everything for all the vital work they've done. We had Lance up at our clubhouse, and we had just mentioned about our entrance into 80, that it's really getting short and narrow. Lance says, I'll look into it. This week, they cleared it all out. So it's much safer for everybody to leave our area and come back. I wanted to thank commissioners for Dart Park. I mean, that's very to my heart. We have lights up there, which I have mentioned before. The water's being turned on by Jason today as we speak, and getting that all straightened away. We've had no vandalism to speak of at the park. Our bathrooms are still good. We have a light in the gazebo. We have now lights on the street. We had a big thing there last night that the sheriff had said that we got together to see the red moon, or a blood moon if you want to call it that. We had over 60 people in our park participating. They didn't have to worry about nothing. We didn't have the bathrooms open. That's the only thing we didn't get done. But as I like to say again, I'd like to congratulate Story County Commissioners, Pat Whitten, everybody that's involved with our county government right here has done a great job for my area, which is the River District, which I am also the neighborhood watch commander for it. So just thank you. Give you something good to say.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mrs. Miller?
Thank you. Mary Lee Miller, River District. I want to elaborate on what we're doing down there. He mentioned the blood moon. We're going to start with yesterday morning. We took 15 kids on a hike through WeCare. We have decided not to just focus on the seniors and what they need and what they're doing. We are now starting this week focusing on the youth. We took them on a four-hour hike under the WeCare guys, wore our vests so they knew who the adults were that were really in charge, had a good time, invited all of them and their families back to the Blood Moon last night. Same thing. We are under WeCare guys. We are trying to get these youth knowing that we do want to do something for them. Don't do any damage to us. This Friday, we're taking them to Hunter Creek, and we're going to hike to the waterfall. The same thing. We have our vests, the two adults that are registered through the CERT program are going to be wearing our vests. We're going to have a radio on the front part and a radio on the back part to make sure we don't lose anybody or anybody falls away or whatever, to show them, and it's instructional. We show them every piece of wildlife and every piece of anything we can find, and had an instruction yesterday morning on all 4 hours that we were out. They were delighted. They couldn't wait. So when we introduced them to the trip on Friday, they all raised their hand. They're all going. So that makes them part of the community and not just looking around for something to do all the time. We're focusing really hard this week because the school is out. This is not going to be where it goes all the time, but this is where it has gone this week. We have a Facebook account. WeCare is on Facebook. Those pictures are up on Facebook of what we do down there for everybody. So they are there. If anybody would care to check us out, they can go to WeCare on Facebook. And so that's what we're doing for the youth, because you know we're always involved with the seniors. I have a letter here of thank you that I would like to read to you. It's the Story County Commissioners. Dear Sirs, the Lockwood Rainbow Bend Community Senior Center would like to extend a thank you to the commissioners of the Story County for their efforts and generosity concerning the new flooring at the center in Lockwood. The flooring was completed this last week and looks wonderful. The previous flooring of carpet had ripped to the extent that it was hazardous to our disabled senior citizens using the center. The new flooring can be cleaned much easier and is not carpet. It will certainly make the dining area easier to maintain. The center currently is monthly functional with programs and social uses that will benefit from the new safety. The center looks 100% better and makes us all proud. We are grateful to the commissioners in part for the transformation, and especially appreciated to the efforts of liaison Maggie Lowther and to Sherry Nevin and to the maintenance department, who helped my husband and I move all the furniture from one room to the other and back again as they finished a floor. And it could not be done without those people wanting this to be successful and making it look really well. We want to thank you. This is your letter. I'm going to give this to you. Too bad Mr. Gilman wasn't here to partake in all of this too, but you can just save it, let him look at it. And I thank you very much.
We'll get a copy to each one.
Thank you.
Thank both of you. This is great about these public-private relationships that we have. And they only work because of your efforts. Yeah, we can't be one-sided. So.
It works when everybody's here.
That's right.
Yep.
Did I miss anybody else on staff?
Nope, we're good. I think we're on to item 13.
Okay. Commissioner Shevagin, do you have any comments?
I have a couple of things. Last Friday we had a statewide joint conference with Senator Reid and Senator Heller's office regarding the wilderness and sage hen bill. The consensus of all 17 counties, unanimous, was take your bill to some other state and see if they'll buy it. So that's back up on the Hill getting redone.
The other thing that we're starting to work on right now in earnest is defeating the margins tax. I don't foresee anyone other than the Clark County School District possibly supporting it, but we mount a pretty good battle against that margins tax. That's going to be a serious thing, and I can think of a couple of businesses right now in Story County that will either go out of business or move out of state if that margins tax is passed. So we're going to be hitting that hot and heavy between now and next legislative session and get rid of that. That's all I have, sir.
Can I chime in on the margins tax here for just a minute? Commissioner Gilman shared with me yesterday something that I'm sure he would have publicly said, having heard that. We have multiple, but one specific manufacturer with international contracts.
Yep.
And really almost a local homegrown product in northwestern Nevada has already said, if the margins tax passes, I'm moving to California. That tells you how bad this solution is.
Out there that said they're going to move to Texas passes. So.
Along those lines, at the I think one of the most recent meetings that we went to NNDA in Carson City is that there was a businessman who was relocating from California to this region, and he said that if the margins tax were to pass, that he would in fact not move to Nevada. I mean, that's just the way it is. This is just another way to circumvent state constitution, which prohibits a business corporation income tax.
Yep.
And so they come around, they sidewind everything. This is a modified business tax that we pay as employers. That's another way they got around it. This margins tax, that's a different word for it, but they call it an educational something,
yeah,
to make it look like it's for the kids. And we know there's nothing in the legislation that would make it specifically go for those kids, because they could put it into that pool, take other money out of the pool, and use it for other resources or other options that they want to use those resources for. So,
motion for a recess.
Yeah, sure. Why don't we go? Let's retake about 10 minutes, okay?
Yeah.